All right, well, let me jump over to the Right Side Way monologue, and I'll just start off by saying something that I'm sure all of y'all have seen in the news. I mean, by now you've probably all seen, or at least heard, of the latest schism in our cultural fabric, the rending of our social order. Donald Trump has come out of the proverbial closet to show the world that he's really a Nazi. A Nazi. Or is it a fascist? Or is he a racist? Or is he a dictator? Or is he what? And by the way, what does that make those of us who plan to vote for him again? I mean, well, to believe the rhetoric that we're all complicit in his atrocities, right? So to add to the fray, last night, Joe Biden, the nominal president of the United States, announced that anyone supporting Trump is garbage. He said that. They're doing the best they can to cover up for him now. They're trying to blame it on a speech impediment of all things. But he said it. He said that Trump supporters are garbage. The president said that any one of the estimated 150 million people in the United States who may lean towards Trump, well, even though he purports to represent them himself, he went ahead and insulted them all and said, they're just garbage. So why do all of this? Why all the insulting rhetoric? Well, there's only one reason. The left desperately seek to divide us. They do it by race, ethnicity, gender, gender identity, and now they seek to divide us by shame. Because if they can shame us into believing that we are less than good, then they can divide us. Shame, divide, and conquer. That's what they're up to do. Shame, divide, and conquer. Now look, divide and conquer, we've all heard the phrase. It's commonly used, but have you ever thought about the application or where the phrase originated? Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines the phrase as the definition of divide and conquer being to make a group of people disagree and fight with one another so they will not join together against one. Huh. Doesn't that sound like where we are right now? I mean, there are varying references to the origins of the phrase, but one of them that I believe is likely accurate says that divide and conquer comes from an original Latin maxim, divide et impera, which means divide and rule. Julius Caesar used it in reference to defeating the Gauls during the Gallic Wars. So why am I telling you all this? Because we have to see them for what they are. Shame is the latest divisive tactic. Liberals are working to divide our society. I mean, really divide us. Not even by happenstance. It's deliberate. But let me just go ahead and clear the air on something here. I'm a white guy. Wow. What an admission. I was born that way. There's no cultural appropriation. It's real. I'm a white guy. Mom and dad were both white. So yeah, the natural order of things is I would be too. Scripture tells me, by the way, that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and that God knew me as he knit me together in my mother's womb. So being a white guy was part of God's plan, the same as anyone who was born white or black or Asian or Hispanic or Martian or whatever. But the mere fact that God saw fit in his infinite wisdom for me to be born a Caucasian does not negate my right or ability to form an opinion on matters about racism. I'm a man, but I've got a right and an ability to form an opinion about abortion. I'm an American, but I've got a right and an ability to form an opinion about matters of foreign policy. I'm not personally physically challenged or have special needs, but I helped pass laws that dealt with those issues. You see, I am allowed, the same as you, to have an opinion. We all are. But liberals want us first to be shamed for not meeting some kind of physical metric, and then they use belief systems as a shaming tool. And now they just call you garbage for daring to have an opinion in the hopes that you will be shamed into divisive, non-functional little factions incapable of massing together for the win. That's the goal. That's the goal of left-wing race baiters and charlatans. So you are first made clear on the ill-conceived notion that you are not worthy to have an opinion on a matter. The problem with that line of reasoning is that it creates a circular argument. Think about it. One in which they only talk amongst themselves, about everyone else, but only feeding off each other. It allows them to have reason and discourse among themselves. It predetermines an outcome. It allows for revisionism history and a festering of the perceived wounds of grievance. No healing is allowed in that circular gripe session. And yet that's what race baiters, charlatans, and now shamers want. They want wounds. They want festering, oozing, sucking chest wounds right in the heart of our society because that's how they make their money. That's how they make their notoriety. That's how they make their power. By shaming us and dividing and conquering. You know, I got two beautiful grandchildren now, both of them under the age of three. And there's an innocence that I'm reminded of when I see them. I mean, the world is full of wonder. Potential friends are out there on every playground. And while I believe that they are the best ones, my grandkids, they're my grandkids, so naturally I believe they're the best ones. They are also not so unique in their perspectives of the world. I mean, despite what all the race baiters, the charlatans, and the shamers would have us to believe, children like my grandkids and all the rest, they're not born with racist extremist tendencies. They're not born as an oppressor or an oppressed by virtue of their skin color. They just aren't. To say any different defies logic and reason. And anyone who's ever had a small child knows that that line of thinking is not only wrong, that it's evil. But if liberals can make us believe that we have no unifying common ground, then we are divided. If they can achieve their aim of saying that we are not diverse enough, without ever defining what diverse enough even means, then they have successfully denigrated what is truly the most diverse nation in the world. If liberals can push the notion that this nation is systemically racist, and that being born white makes you a privileged oppressor, and that being born black automatically makes you an aggrieved victim, then they have destroyed the notion of character, opportunity, and hard work. If liberals can tell you that and make it stick, if liberals can push the notion that the entire social structure of this nation is built only on the backs of people who have varying degrees of intersectionality, then they automatically defeat our commonality. And when all that fails, if liberals can simply tell you that you're a shameful individual not worthy of having a voice in the public arena, nothing more than garbage, then they cow you into submission. And that's what it takes, they'll do it. I mean, think about it. The liberal mantras are always wrapped up in identity and shame. Are you black, white, Asian, Latin? Who cares? Are you gay, straight, cisgender, gender neutral, non-binary? What? What are your pronouns? What is your truth? What are your grievances? Where is your equity? How dare you think differently? You're horrible. Go sit in the corner and think about what you've done. I mean, come on. The most egregious and recent aspect of the liberal divide and conquer effort was that most, shameful episode we had in the overreactions to COVID. COVID was awful. I'm not trying to say it didn't happen, and people did die. I understand that. But there was a year and a half of social distancing in which people could not gather. Churches could not meet to worship. Businesses were declared non-essential. Society was fractured and scarred by the forced efforts of big government to not allow us to remain whole. We had to be divided for our own good, or so they said. But I think, though, something happened out of that. I think that people got fed up with the idea of being divided. I think that what it's done is created a backlash to the rhetoric. And so now when they attempt to divide and conquer, and when they can't divide us, they shame us, we look at it and we see it for what it is. I'm seeing a revitalization right now. There's a general mood. There's a burgeoning resistance to ever letting them divide us again. Parents are going to school board meetings. Government officials are facing primary challengers. The dividers are scratching and clawing and shaming. But I strongly believe that unlike any other nation in the history of this world, the United States is just that. We are united. We are a people that will not long suffer fools. And we will work towards solutions to the wrongs in our society, but we will not suffer an extended overreach. I'm telling you, divide and conquer is their plan, but they shall not breach our lines. And when they can't divide, they will shame. We are one voice, though, and they cannot shame us into silence. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.